me is the one and only Paul Francis, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me. We've got Iggy in the Twitch chat room. We've got Dave there. We've got Dave here. Dave's everywhere. And, of course, you got me. Now, tonight, the topic is going to... Actually, topics are going to be kind of on-the-fly kind of thing, because nothing really inspired me, kind of. There was something that kind of inspired me that, at the same time, I know what I would love to do. I wish I had all the time in the world. I wish I didn't have a day job where I had where all my time had to be spent. I really do. Because there are times when I really would like to focus on the SAP Online client and other things that are related to Starfleet battles in the Starfleet universe and get that all done and just have that available for people. And that's what I would love to do. There are some days I would love to do that. Some days that I ain't. Hey, Chris. And I ain't feeling it at all. Because there is a point, and I know this point, where it just gets overtaxing, overbearing, and just like it's a slog is what it is. But you know, I got these ideas which I really would love to implement. So anyway, we're gonna go there tonight because of I don't have any place else to go, I guess. So tonight, actually, what I'm gonna talk about, I'm gonna start off with anyway, is card games. The obvious card game is the only one that really exists. Actually, believe it or not, there's more than one card game that actually exists in the Starfleet universe. Now, of course, there is the first card game that ADB ever put out, which I think I want to call it Starfleet Missions. I think, yeah, that was it. It was not that great of a game. Yikes. I never got to play it. Actually, I got a copy from a friend, but I never really got to play it. It's more, I got a copy just to have a copy. There actually was it was not put by ADB. I forget who created it. Basically, it was a kind of a neat idea for a card game. It was a fun one. For those people, this was back in the day, and Lord knows there are so many times that I miss these days. And that is the days where you could go to a big convention, spend the whole weekend just playing Starfleet Battle and just revel in playing that game. You know, it's not like I do that every day, but every single time I think about how Starfleet Battles was. Now, I understand that is not the current reality. The current reality is that we have that those players that used to really be Starfleet Battles players have moved on to other games, or in my case, gotten older, and other things in life have gotten more important, and I can understand that. I truly do. But there's some okay. I guess the part of what I miss about those days is the camaraderie. Is sitting there, after we all play, you know, late night, we stop at the bar and just hang out, have a few beers, and just talk about Starfleet battles, talk about tactics, sometimes just talk about life, you know, all depends on where that went, and yeah, it was a lot of fun, but anyway, somebody created a card game. Based on, it was called the Gold Hat Card Game. And I don't remember if I still have a copy. I had a copy way back when. But it was a cool card game the idea was to try to bring the experience of playing at Origins. Playing at Origins. To a person who never played at Origins, or even better yet, the people who play at Origins, they play the card game DII. It's like, yeah, I know that one. Been there, done that. You know, that kind of thing when it comes to that card game. And it was a fun card game. Never got published per se. I forget if ADB printed it or someone printed it out. Basically, it was this, you know, the cards, it's kind of card stock is what it was. Card stock, which was, you know, and then you have to take it apart because, you know, it was in these big sheets. So the cards weren't really good quality cards, but, you know, the idea was it was a play test kind of thing. And it never went past that, but it was still a lot of fun. And of course, last but not least, Starfleet Battle Force. That is the current game, which ADB will tell you they made too many copies. To this day, they're still trying to sell copies of that thing from the original run way back when. I don't think that if ADB ever sold all the copies of Starfleet Battle Force, if they ever could actually reproduce those copies. I don't think they could create new cards. Well, not new cards, but print them out again. I'm not sure. Well, one, I'm not sure if it's financially feasible. But secondly, everything that came in, I still remember hearing from ADB when it comes to Starfleet Battle Force that for anybody who's actually bought Starfleet Battle Force, I don't have it right now close by, and I should have grabbed my copy before I got online here. And that is, it's a nice little plastic box around yay big. For those people in the video, could see me kind of giving a. But anyway, it's very poor. gives you a poor idea of how big it was. But it was in this plastic box that had, you know, a couple sets of cards. You know, you got your action cards, you got your ship cards, you got some other cards just to help set up play. Like there's actually a player order card. Actually, those were actually, I forget if that was the rules or that was an alternate set of rules. I think it was an alternate set of rules where the idea was that, and Dave, Chris, Iggy, if you remember, please tell me, where you actually could shuffle the player order each turn. Because you actually have player order cards, which I think what you did is you used it at the beginning of the game to define what was the order of the players. You know, the idea being that you would not, like, just sit down around a table and say, okay, we're going to go this way or go this way. That's fine. Like anything else, it's fine for the first game. But after that, if you play more hands, more games of it, you need to change the order because you can't always be on the same players. You know, so you had those. I think that was the only three types of cards there were. Yeah. If there's any other ones that I'm forgetting, please tell me. But anyway, you know, it's the whole idea of the game is it's based off the same kind of game called Fleet. I think it's Fleet or Atlantic Fleet, something like that. One of those two, where you have your in the advanced game. What you'd have is you have three sets of cards. Three, you know, that you would have face up. You'd have your yes, Chris. I think it's a Starfleet Battle Force is kind of game. I think you could play with your non-SAB player girlfriend. It's not that complicated overall. Let me describe it to you since. Obviously, Chris, you've never played. Okay. What you have is you have your screen at the front. Then you have your main fleet behind them. And then after that, you have like three cards, which are your reserve force. So that, you know, the whole idea was, okay, if that actually gets damaged, you can actually, as part of an action, you actually can bring them back into the main force, or something that's in the main force, you can bring them back into reserved. And the idea being is when you go into reserved, you can actually repair them. But one of the things, one of those things that actually kind of does, this doesn't really reflect the SCP as a game, but actually I was thinking about it, actually it does, which is the whole idea of you've got multiple ships all concentrating their fire on one ship. Now, overall, you know, I think most people would prefer it if the rules allowed you to with the cards you get, because you have action cards and you need an action card to actually fire. You'll have an action card like photon, you know, fire photons, fire plasma R, plasma S, you know, but you have to have these weapon systems to fire. You have to have a ship with a weapon system that you want to fire to do anything. Now, so the idea was that you were going to be attacking that one ship. So you lay down the cards and say, okay, for this ship's going to attack that ship. So you lay down the cards and you say, okay, I'm going to lay down a phaser, blah, 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 blah. There's also some additional action cards that you can do in addition to firing, to modify the roles. You know, you can, in the case of a defender, you can do things like wild weasel, you know, ECM, and of course, as an attacker, you can then counter that with the ECCM and things like that. And what you have is you have little spots on your ship card, and then when you fill up all the dots, because you have these little red buggers, which idea is that it covers the spots on the card. And when all those spots, including the center one, which is not really a spot on the card, but, you know, when they're all filled up, it's destroyed. Okay. And then the person who has destroyed that ship, he gets the card. And then the idea is that if you have a multiplayer game, the person with the most points, because each card is worth a certain number of points, that's the person who wins. Now, if you're playing one-on-one, you know, it's whoever survives, you know, overall. But, you know, when you're playing multiple players, you can, in theory, beat everybody else, but at the same point, you got to figure out who wins, you know. And I think more of you know, who's second, who's third, and that kind of thing. Actually, I've never played Magic the Gathering. That's the one thing I've not done. But I think it's okay. Just one thing is that when it comes to Starfleet Battle Force, if you want to, there are two sets of rules. It's like SCP. SCP has, most people don't know about this, or don't remember this. Back in the day, the way you actually learned, you didn't have a cadet training manual. You played what's called the basic rules. The basic rules have things that overall, I agree, Iggy. Dave. It's more complicated than Uno. Definitely more complicated than Uno. It's more complicated than most card games per se. You know, like it's more complicated than Rummy, more complicated than Gin Rummy, more complicated than some of the bidding games like Bridge, Sheep's Head. If you're from Wisconsin, you know what I'm talking about. I forget there's another card game I used to play, and I don't remember what it was, what the name of it was. It's been so long and I played that. But anyway, yeah. Getting back to basics versus advanced, you actually have there's a basic game where the idea is that you put out the cards. And there is no screen, you know, screen versus main body versus reserve. You just have your cards out there. And usually that's how you learn to play. And there's a little rule booklet. You know, it's a very small rule booklet. Some of it is rules. Some of it is like appendices is what it is, which goes through the cards and, most of the interactions are self-explanatory. Every once in a while, you have to read a rule to clarify certain things when it comes to the cards, at least in my mind, when it comes to the action cards and how some of the action cards interact. I've had to do that. Now, there are some things that you can do with you know, like a Tholian can throw up a web which will reduce damage. There's the Orion, certain ships that have cloaks and you can actually cloak, and then what happens is automatically at the beginning of your next turn all your cloaks go away. And then if one of the things you want to do is you can cloak them, you can re-cloak them. I forget. It's been a while since I've played a game, so therefore I don't remember the sequence of play as well as I really should, and I apologize. I probably should at least spend half an hour to an hour rereading those rules and refamiliarizing myself with the rules. But what I was actually doing was something instead, which I got sucked down the rabbit hole. And I thought I might be able to get a little something working before I started, but that did not occur. Okay, maybe I'll bring it up anyway. Don't mind me. I'm gonna bring it up on my screen here, and I'm hoping to share it with you. Which is it for those of you who actually have been with me in the podcast for a long time. And the reason I say that is because I just looked at the project. And the last time I actually brought up, this is a Unity-based project, Unity-based, is 3 years ago. Because of the last version of Unity that I actually opened up and used. Not sure how much I used it. But opened up and used is 3 years old. So I know it's at least 3 years ago since I actually opened up Unity. Now, the original version way back when I first played with it was, I'm looking at the first test project I created. Just a test project. Actually, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of cool. The whole idea of the original Unity test project was just to see if I could actually have a counter and have it so it moved around a board. And I figured out how to get that working. And actually, let me see if, can I? I'm going to do something for that test project. I want to see if it works so I can show you guys what that was. Because if I can't, I can't. And if I can, that'd be great. I originally hadn't planned on even showing you guys the test project. I plan on showing you the original working stuff I was working on for creating Starfleet Battle Force, because I figured the best way to do Starfleet Battle Force, because of I had gotten some input from people about what to look at. There was actually some, I forgot what videos they were pointing me to, but they're pointing me to some playthroughs for certain games. Because remember, guys, I don't play that many video games. Because the reason why I usually don't play that many video games is just because of I feel like I'm wasting time. You know, Unity as in the game development platform. And skip that at the moment. And let me see if this works at all. So, and let me see if I don't know. Yeah, it actually does work. Yeah. Actually, let me show my screen so you can see it. Correct. Yeah, it's like the Unreal Engine, except for it's not. Epic doesn't control it, so it's I think it's called Unity is the actual company. I forget. Oh, it looks like it did not switch over. Thought it might. Okay. No, it still didn't. I don't know. Whatevs. Okay, let's clear that. Sorry. But this was the game. It was just a real quick test. You know, got a nice background. This is pure and simple. It is a background image, it's an interesting idea because of I'm used to dynamically drawing my screen, drawing the map. In this case, it's basic, which if I get technical details, I have the code that generates the map, but it actually draws it on a bitmap and then shows it. So this is actually pre-drawn. And so this is just a bitmap, you know, it's just graphic, and it's had it so that you can, you know, just wanted to test, you know, can I get it so it moves around the board? I can calculate properly the angles and movement and going from one piece to another and so forth, so that I know where, you know, the positions are correct, and this is what I got. So it was kind of cool. The one thing I never understood, which was there is a networking component, I think, that can be done, and I forget how, because as it is, I don't even know how that servers would work and so forth when it comes to that. But that was that. I can't go back to Unity Hub. And you notice the Unity it comes up with is a little bit old. I just downloaded the latest copy today. So you see it. Okay. So skip the new version for the moment. I actually did download it. I just haven't started it up. I find what I have to do is I have to start that version of Uni somehow. I'm not sure. I know I downloaded it. I'm not sure if I missed something because it says, oh, downloaded using Unity Hub. And I did. But if you go to Unity Hub, you'll notice that the installs, it only sees this one. There's actually two installs. So, whatevs. But, you know, I got it so I got this. I actually got all of the assets in here, you know, the different cards. So you can see this because somebody was very helpful. And actually, I think they might scan these things in because I grabbed them from the Vassal project because it's a Java project, and therefore you actually, all the assets are free and available. And before, I'm pretty sure it got taken down. I think it got taken down. The idea was that it was going to be taken down because it was violating the licensing. Now, this was way back when. Anybody said, could I do this? And I said, yeah, I could do it. But, you know, it's going to take a bit of time. But, you know, so I decided, you know, let's work on it a little bit. ADB, I don't think would be thrilled with me if I was doing it. But anyway, you know, so I got all these. The whole idea was that I was going to create a Unity project so people could, you know, buy the product, and it actually would look more like what people are expecting a card game to look like. And I expected, I'm trying to think about what kind of game. Something, I think maybe Magic Gathering might be a good example. I think that's it. But the idea of that you have a game where you have your characters on the board. And at the moment, I was picturing my head, at least for start with at least a two, start with just me with a two-player game where you're seeing your cards and you're seeing your opponent's cards both on this big table. So you can see his setup, and what I was hoping to do is have it so that you could go around, you know, either double click on his cards or click on his cards. What I would really like is the ability to hover over the opponent's cards to see them. There's certain things. Yeah, doesn't surprise me, Chris. Chris is just mentioning that the Starfleet Battle Force is still on the Vassal site, which I think that, in theory, I think it was supposed to be taken down. I might want to check with A to B on that, but at the moment, whatever. But so I got all the assets into the Unity project, and I actually, this is way back when, I actually went through the there was someone who created a card game, a tutorial for card games. So that's why, you know, I did some work on it. Got some scripts here. If I open that, and I gotta see if I can use visual code instead of Visual Studio. At the moment, I installed Visual Studio because that's what would be a good idea for doing this. And, you know, simple code. You know, flip the card. The whole idea is that you have a card model, and the card model actually has the idea of a card model is that you have a card is actually made up of two images. You've got the front image and you've got the back image. Now, a lot of the back images are exactly the same. Like all the ship cards, they all have the same back image. All the action cards have all the same back image and things like that. And the idea was, the flipper was that you could actually call the action. You'd flip the card and it would then switch it from being, you know, face down to being face up, or face up, face down, you know. So, right, and this is flip card index and sprite, right? So yeah, this is indexes of, and also this, I think this card flip was also used for the card deck, so that when you quote unquote flip the card, it wouldn't flip the card per se. It would the flipping of the card actually would be the same as, showing the next card on in the deck is what it would be. So that was the whole idea I had with this. I did some initial work on it and then stopped. And I would love to continue it, but I'm always being pulled from project to project to project. Question is which ones to work on, because Chris, as you know, I'm doing my best to, when you give me a ship card, I then have to work on it and actually add it to the library, because the library is actually a listing of entries for the cards, for those ship definitions. It's not an automated process. It's a manual process that I have to do. And obviously, I'd have in some cases actually I have to rename the files you give me, which is nothing new, because I have a certain naming conventions that I like to use and like to keep, because it makes things easier when it comes to processing. For example, Chris, that you sent me one which said Fed, I think underscore some Federation ship, but I never used the word Fed. I always use the word Federation. So I had to rename those files to say Federation instead of Fed. And sometimes you abbreviate Squadron to be SQ instead of Squadron, the full name. And I like to use the same the full name. And the reason why when it comes to the full name, it's really simple, is that we have two different entries. We have the entry for the fleet, we have the entry for the squadron. And I can do a search and replace on fleet and squadron for those lines. So I can easily go back and forth between the two, and I've got the entries already made. So, it's one of those things that's really, I can't automate at the moment. And then, of course, then there's the actually have to do the counters. I have to figure out what counters to grab from SFB to be used in FedCom. And since the convention is that the counter matches the file naming of the counter matches the file naming of the actual ship, then in a lot of cases I have duplicate counters for one for the fleet, one for the squadron, so exactly the same file. They're both they have two different names, Okay. Chris, that'll be helpful. Chris said, that he'd be happy to make sure that he follows the convention, and that'd be great. And hopefully, that'll help me a little bit. It's one less thing I have to worry about, but still, it's still a lot of it's a manual process. So I have a limited amount of time I can work on things each day, because I work from 6:30 in the morning until like 4:00 in the afternoon. After that, then I have to make supper. After that, depending upon whatever else I have planned for the evening, I might be able to work on Starfleet battles. In the case of Sunday nights, it's all Warlord. Monday nights, a lot of times it's Warlord. I spend somewhere between 2 and 4 hours working on Warlord turns. On Sunday, I might work on, depending upon how far we are in the process, I might work another two, four hours working on getting the Warlord stuff, all that turns, and some of them are entered by hand, which is one of those ones I like to automate the whole process. And I worked towards working on that one a while back now. It's been like a year. It's been like a year since I've gotten certain aspects to it actually automated. I have not implemented the automated portions because I'm deathly afraid at the moment that I am going to screw something up. At the moment, I got this one. I call the game Starfleet Warlord. I call it my private war because it's the first game in 10 years. No, more than 10 years. Was it 10 years? I'm trying to remember when I actually took over Starfleet Warlord from Bruce Graw. And it's just been, it's been a long while. Because the first time I actually, before I bought the game, not back up. I didn't buy the game. I got the rights to play the game, to modify the rules however I see fit. Because that's when Bruce Graw said, it's like, okay, I give you the rights to do whatever the heck you want. Free reign. I can change the rules to be completely different from what it originally was. I can do whatever I want, basically. I just have to make sure that I pay him a certain percentage of the income I bring in. Revenue that I bring in. Just think I have to pay A to B. A certain bit of a percentage I have to send off to him. So, to say the very least, I calculated out one time, and given all the expenses I currently have, I mean, purely running expenses without doing any development, like paying for an Apple developer account. I pay for an Apple developer account, so I actually have a Apple certificate, so I actually can sign and valid and notarize the actual program, so it will deploy on the Mac. And since I run on the Mac all the time, as if you hadn't noticed, because got people, this is Mac. You know, it's good to actually have that ability. I've yet to figure out. Actually, I'm loath to actually try to figure out. It's not that I can't figure it out. It's just that I haven't spent the time and also the money. Because see, with Apple, it's $100 a year for a certificate. There's other things I can do with that. With that developer account with Apple, and I'd be fine. But if I want to sign a program for Microsoft Windows, that will cost me around $400 a year. Now, this is not for a developer program from Microsoft. What this is purely to get a certificate that I can actually sign my app with. It will cost me $400 on the open market, which is, to me, is freaking nuts. It's like, oh, why? Like, I almost want to scream at Microsoft, because Microsoft's like, why don't you have a service which is only $100 a year, where you verify that this person, that you've taken their money and you verify that they're a live person, because Lord knows, when it comes to malicious code, those people, they're not going to be out there spending the money to actually get a certificate to actually sign the code. Now, actually, I was hearing Steve Gibson. I think has a podcast called Security Now. And one of the things that I got from what he's talking about is that under Microsoft, here's the problem. Even if you have a signed program, you still have to build up a reputation for that certificate before it will stop thinking that you're malicious software. Talk about a high bar. To have it so that, because as I'm to this day, most of the people that I have, the people want to install the client and they are having problems, the first thing I have to tell them is like, turn off your antivirus, because invariably it thinks my software is a virus. I was like, no, it's not. It has Java built into it. It's embedded. But it's not malicious. So it's like, really? Really? So it's a big pain. And the thing is, I actually looked at it, and a lot of the pieces of the executable itself, I'm pretty sure not the executable, but like the DLLs and all that kind of thing that are included that for the embedded Java, they're all signed. I thought that might be the problem, is that like some of the binaries aren't signed, but they're signed. I have not checked. I'm pretty sure that the executable itself is not signed. Which my guess is that's why it's screaming. It's because, oh, your executable is not signed. And also, I have not built up the reputation. I'm not sure. It takes like 6 months or more to build up a reputation. And it's just a pain. Jeez. It's bad enough. It's bad enough. To produce a release of the online client, it takes somewhere around 4 hours of my work, of a day, to do this. Because I can, just that is to run the scripts, and part of that is I have to bring up a Windows VM, to create the installer for Windows. I have to have a Windows VM, which I copy all the code against, go over to the VM, then have the VM, run the builder on the VM to create the installer. And after that, then I can then upload it. And then I have to make it so it's, I have to make the updates, change the website, all that kind of thing. So it takes me 4 hours of work. So I apologize for I've got some bug fixes already done. There are one of them's a couple months old. Some of them, another one's a couple weeks old. One of them is Florida's. No, Chris, it's not, again, it's $400 for a certificate, it's a certificate for Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't sell them. I had to get it from VeriSign or one of those certificate authorities. That's the only way I can get a coding certificate, because an SSL certificate is a lot cheaper than a certificate that's used for coding, for actually signing code. Why? I don't know. It's the same, my understanding is it's pretty much the same process. You're using the same certificate. The only thing that changes is the process to actually sign it, which has nothing to do with the signing the certificate authority. In the case of Apple is a certificate authority when it comes to the applications themselves. Now, there some people will say, well, they're the only certificate authority. Anyone should be able to sign the certificate. All I gotta say one thing. What was it? I think it was Komodo. There's some really unreputable certificate authorities, and some of them have actually had their certificate revoked because they've been handling their certification process so poorly that they had to be removed. And that's a pretty drastic measure when it comes to certificate authorities. I'd say there are certain certificate authorities I really would like to remove and have them gone for good from my computers. Mainly, the ones from China. I don't plan on ever visiting a Chinese website or even a Russian website. And so get rid of them. I don't need them. I don't want to have the ability for the Chinese to actually be able to create a certificate, the Chinese government to create a certificate and give it to a hacking firm and say, here, have fun. Here's a wild card. You could do whatever you want, and to put man in the middle attacks for any secure connection, But anyway, so I apologize that I got a couple of fixes for the client, but I can't put them out there because it takes a long process. I can put it out there, but it's like when it comes to the amount of time it takes me to do those fixes versus the time it takes me to actually produce a release. You know, it wastes more time to create like in theory I could create not quite weekly fixes, but I could have the fixes go out relatively quickly. But at the same time, during those four hours, well, 2 to 4 hours depends, I can't do any development. So, you know, and I can't do anything else for those times. And usually I'm trying to do other things because, hey, to tell you this, guys, Starfleet Battles and Starfleet Warlord, they're not my life. Because unfortunately, they're not large enough, and I know that they probably will never be large enough where I can live off the income off of them. As I mentioned before, Starfleet Warlord, that has a possibility. That has a possibility. Especially if I can get the automation, completely automated, get it up on the websites, have it so that it can be, the whole process can be automated so that people can submit their orders, get the orders, get the results back, and even getting the results back, get it within a client. In this case, I'm hoping that Dirk will get his stuff finished on that. If not, I might just have to say screw it and do it myself. And have it so that, you know, and have it so that you can put through the orders and you can bring them back. Because I think the whole idea of asynchronous play, the idea of submitting orders to an interface and later on getting back the results, I think it's definitely a viable platform. It's a viable type of game. There already are games that already do that. Now they're a little more graphical in mind and pictures. And that's why I think what Dirk is doing will be a tremendous help. And if we can have it so the actual Warlord client itself is a lot more fun, it might be helpful. Obviously, there's certain things when it comes to movement, I think that could be a great help. The biggest, I always find that when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, the biggest issue I find when it comes to movement at all, it would be the issue with having so that you can do a graphical user interface with that and have it so it supports these large fleets. Because the whole idea is that you don't actually have organized fleets. Though I've thought about adding the idea of fleets to Starfleet Warlord. And I would love, and I think that'd be great, because then the idea would be that you could, it'd be more like F&E in that fashion, where currently it's mob. It's a mob. You just collection of ships, they all fire, kadoosh, and you're good. You know, there is no fleet hierarchy, nothing like that. I'm not saying that you should do that for Starfleet Warlord, but I think the idea of fleets when it comes to completely organizational point of perspective would be great when it comes to movement. At least when it comes to a graphical, a GUI, that's such an old term, you know, GUI, because of no one talks about GUIs anymore. They always talk about user interfaces, user experiences. We all assume that it's going to be graphical. Now, for those of you that remember the day, or on Linux, I've actually seen this term, which was TUI. TUI, which basically, it's a text user interface. The whole idea is like terminal applications from way back in the day. Anyone who remembers DOS, you remember those. those programs that were basically their TUIs. And I say gooey, and I say that I know that's a term that's just so to modern day people, modern day kids, they're going, it's a user interface, you know, it's the kind of the G is assumed. Everything's graphical. You know, you have nothing when it comes to text-based, but of course, I'm old school. I grew up in the days of DOS, and to this day, most of my, what I do is in the terminal. There's a few programs I use. I rarely use the Finder, except for in certain cases. For, you know, I'm mainly staying, you know, for moving files around, I use the terminal. For running scripts, I use the terminal. Ah, yes, end curses. Actually, believe it or not, Iggy, I actually did learn a little bit of end curses myself, a little programming of end curses way back, it's been many, many years ago, when I had the idea of actually creating a TUI. A TUI program, which was, I forget what I was doing. I was thinking about doing that for. It was interesting. But anyway, you know, there's my mail is gooey though. In some cases, I wish it wasn't. Got mail, got web browser. Got the terminal. Those are the three things I use the most of all the programs in all everything. Obviously, when it comes to the development of the client, I have to use an IDE because it's a requirement. You know, with something as complicated as Java and a project as big as Java, you need an IDE. Actually, I still remember one of my fellow developers, because I rarely at work, I rarely bring up an IDE. Most of the time, when I do any development, usually it's small stuff, and since it's small stuff, I can usually deal with just command line. And every once in a while, I go, you know, okay, I need to bring up a debugger, and actually, on those times, I actually bring up the Java debugger, the command, like the 2 week version of the Java debugger, and then going, they go, how do you use that? It's like, well, you use it, you know, you learn it, you know, it's not that hard. I know most people don't use it. Most people use Eclipse or NetBeans or one of these IDEs to actually do the debugging. Wow. You are right. If you have a 32-bit computer, you need to upgrade, because dang, man. But anyway, I think I'll wrap it up there. I got sidetracked. Big surprise. Talking about the online client. You know, I got to talk about... Yeah. I don't think... Yeah. Well, Iggy, the big question for that would be, is there an OpenJDK? Ah, crap, yeah. But anyway, yep, okay. Not Iggy. To wrap it all up here, you know, got to talk about Starfleet Battle Force here. It's a really interesting one. Got to show you a little project that, for those who actually watched the video, got to see my little project here, even a little test project I did of the idea of maybe redoing some of the stuff when it comes to the stuff, you know, SFB online. Again, it requires Java 9 at the moment. Actually, if you can get Java 8 on it, I think you should be good, because I changed it so that actually that I can you can actually use Java 8. But I that's one thing I'd have to check. I'd have to change when it comes to the internet installer. Not sorry, the Unix installer, because currently I say that you have to, it requires Java 9. But anyhow, getting back to my signing off here. But you know, I got the got that, you know, got to see the couple of Unity projects that I've done, you know, just play projects. Actually, the one project was more of a play less of a play project, more of the beginnings of. Send me an email to remind me at andromedan@sfbonline.com. And make sure that I can get an update to the Unix installer, because as I said, I think if I recall correctly, the project itself for the to create the installer I have it currently set to require Java 9, but I can change it to be Java 8, and I think I might be able to have it so you're working on that one. Yeah, I know. That's why. Just send me an email to remind me to work on that, because otherwise I will completely forget. So just send me to either the Andromeda at sfbonline.com, or you can send me the sfuoncall@gmail.com. Either one of those email addresses will work just fine, and I will be happy to work on getting that minor change available for you, so that you can actually install the client and look at it. Because it should work fine with Java 8, because I currently still have the JDK 8 installer for Windows, which actually I've got to double check to see how many people actually are downloading that these days. But anyhow, with that, yep, that's cool. Anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.